Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Thursday, April 26th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. I got a little bit of energy this morning, so I thought I'd do a breakfast hour on Locked On Warriors here today. And in so doing, I'm going to do my breakfast hour voice, which is a little different than my afternoon voice, if you haven't noticed. But I think it fits with the cool that the Warriors are feeling right now, just having gotten through their first round series in a gentleman sweep and just kind of like waiting until Saturday and seeing how the other teams in the playoffs, how the rest of the West shapes out, looking at Oklahoma City, seeing them try to fight back from a 3-1 hole winning last night, looking at LeBron James and his block and then game winner to go up 3-2 in the series against Indiana, looking at the Houston Rockets and how they made pretty quick work of the Minnesota Timberwolves, sitting back and watching and saying, hey, let's get healthy, let's get Steph healthy, and who's going to beat us, you know, especially now that they've flipped the switch, and they really have best team in the league in these playoffs so far defensively, and on offense still can run with anybody. I want to thank you for listening to Locked On Warriors. You can get this podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and iOS, as well as LockedOnWarriors.com and LockedOnSports.com, also on Facebook at LockedOnDubs and LockedOnNBAnet. You can get in touch with me via Twitter at Kojitare, that's K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E, or at LockedOnDubs, or via email at AlikoCarter11@gmail.com, that's AlikoCarter11@gmail. Thank you for listening. First segment, we're going to talk Dubs. Second segment, we're going to go around the NBA. And third, we're going to continue our trip around the NBA. And I don't want to get too much into stats today or into, you know, deep analysis of what's going on within the game. I want to talk about feelings. I want to talk about how we all as fans should really be thinking about this team from just a, you know, a feeling standpoint. And it starts with the switch that I was talking about. How amazing is it that this Warriors team was able to just kind of turn it on? It's really special. Not every team can do that. And because there was no history of the Warriors having to do that, the last 3 years they went to the finals, they were the number one overall seed, and LeBron was the one who was flipping the switch for his team. But the Warriors have shown that they have the maturity to be able to handle the adversity of a regular season and still flip the switch to where their focus is absolutely locked in and their defense, once again, is the best defense in the league. I think that should scare other teams, frankly. I think that other teams, when watching the Warriors, should be wary of how quickly they dispensed of the Spurs. And, you know, it's really funny because no one was sure what the right matchup for the right team would be, who's the hardest out, the toughest out in the Western Conference. And, you know, it certainly wasn't the Spurs. It certainly wasn't the Minnesota Timberwolves. We know that now. The Jazz and the Thunder are playing in a hard-fought series, with the Thunder losing home court and going down 3-1 before winning. And I thought that the Thunder would be able to give the Houston Rockets trouble more so than the Jazz. But, you know, if the Jazz make it, they're playing so well together and their defense is so sound and everybody has stepped their game up. Donovan Mitchell is clearly going to be an all-star one day, but right now he'll settle for the highest scorer on a team that has a good chance of making the second round and facing the number one overall seed. You know, I think at the beginning of the season, if you would have asked Donovan Mitchell if that was his season, even though he's probably not going to win Rookie of the Year, you know what he would have said. And if you would have asked the Jazz, who just lost Gordon Hayward, you know, were they going to be better? Was their record going to be better? Were they going to get a higher seed than they did in the previous season? You'd think, no way, no way, Jose. But Quinn Snyder has done an amazing job. But I digress. I'm talking about the Warriors. Another tough out, though, the New Orleans Pelicans, who the Warriors will play, and will continue to dig into that series over the next couple of days, obviously today and tomorrow. All of those teams that I mentioned were fighting tooth and nail to get into the playoffs. They clawed and they scrapped and they made it. Whereas the Warriors just kind of coasted and won, you know, enough games to get that second seed, but it was a slog. It was a slog to the end of the season. There was no Stephen Curry. Everybody was banged up. The defense looked lost. And offensively, the Warriors were spraying passes all over the place and just making mistakes in every facet of the offense. They allowed a ridiculous amount of fast break points. They turned the ball over. And now look at them. It's like a whole new team. I'm not even sure that Steve Kerr could have predicted that there was this switch. I don't think he believes in that. He believes in switches. I think that he was disgusted with some of the basketball that he saw late in the season. You know, he used the word pathetic to describe the Warriors' one game. But this is a seriously veteran group, and the playoffs changes people. Once you get there, every possession matters. We know that. I think the veteran leadership on this team, players who've been to the finals, players who've won finals, the continuity, it was always going to be there. It's not like the Warriors lost much, especially in their rotation now. The people in the rotation, playing in the rotation, they've been with the team. JaVale McGee, NBA champion, now starting on the Warriors playoff squad. Kevon Looney coming up in the system, making things happen now in 20-plus minutes a game in the playoffs. Everybody else, I mean, you've got the Hamptons Five, obviously, have been there over and over and over. And you've got David West, who's been doing it for 17 years. Sean Livingston, who, you know, nobody would ever question his toughness or grit or seriousness in reaching his goals. So in hindsight, it's one of those things that you could have predicted. Oh yeah, of course, they're going to turn it on. And I really, you know, I think in this podcast, I have talked about a switch. I've talked about the Warriors potentially turning on a switch, but I'm not even sure that I believed myself when I was looking at the team and how they were playing. It's like, oh, they're going to be fine. You know, especially without Steph, the offense gets a little bit disjointed. Steve Kerr was like, yeah, you know, we had to rely on KD for stretches, and you know, they're still gonna have to do that if Steph is not available in the first game of the series, but they really have pulled it together, and it's beautiful to see. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Stay tuned for a trip around the NBA. And we're back, and we're looking at the three games from last night. That is Cleveland, Indiana, game 5. Oklahoma City, Utah, Game 5, and Houston, Minnesota, Game 5. Three good games, though Houston, Minnesota was kind of boring. And I'll start with that one first because the Minnesota Timberwolves were exposed in every facet, but specifically, they have just been atrocious defensively. And you have to wonder, with Tom Thibodeau, where is the defense going to come from? Because his Chicago teams, they had an anchor. Number one, they had good defenders throughout the roster, and you know, Luol Deng and a bunch of other really special players, Taj Gibson, who now plays, you know, in Minnesota. But they had Joakim Noah, the one-time defensive player of the year, and just basically a great anchor doing everything for them. Now they have as an anchor Karl Anthony Towns, who is, he picks his spots on defense, let's put it that way. You know, every now and then he'll have a highlight block, but he doesn't move his feet particularly well. He's not super good in the one-on-one defense or roving as a roving center. And he's not a great point man defensively, but then how do you coach that when you've got a player as good as Karl Anthony Towns, someone whose numbers we haven't seen this young since Tim Duncan? How do you say, okay, if you want to be as good as Tim Duncan, Big Cat, you need to play defense like Tim Duncan played defense? And it was his first ever trip to the playoffs. Obviously, Jimmy Butler's been there. Jeff Teague has been there every season of his career. There's a lot of guys on this team who've been there. But for them to reach the next level, Karl Anthony Towns has to become a defensive stopper. He's got to be the anchor on the defensive end. It's got to start there. If they can figure that out, I think next season they'll be higher than an 8 seed, particularly barring injuries. Of course, injuries hit every single team. No team was able to escape the injury bug. But the Houston Rockets have managed it extremely well. You know, everybody's been out for a spell. Obviously, James Harden was out for a spell. Chris Paul was out for a spell. Clint Capella missed some time. But Clint Capella, with an amazing game, Game 5, truly showing what, you know, if you could combine Clint Capella's movement defensively with Karl Anthony Towns' offense, now that would be a very scary center. But Clint Capella is so good at being in the right place in the right time. Offensively, he's good in the pick and roll, slipping screens. And then defensively, he's just big and quick at the same time and just moves into the right place. He is good at going for the ball without committing fouls. And he made his presence known. Something like 26 and 15 or something in this game. I can't remember 100%. I'm not looking at stats per se as much as the eye test right now. And Clint Capella definitely passes it. You know, of course, James Harden passes the eye test. And I don't even need to talk about the Rockets that much anymore. They did what they were supposed to do. They won 65 games and then they beat the 8th seed in a gentleman's sweep. I think that, you know, everybody is satisfied with that first round, and then we'll see who they face, either the Jazz or the Thunder. But either way, it's going to be a harder test than the Minnesota Timberwolves. But let's move on to LeBron James, because, you know, I didn't even get to see much of this game except the very end. 95 all, with the Indiana Pacers having the ball. Of course, it's in Victor Oladipo's hands, and he thinks he's past LeBron, and he gets up on the other side of the rim. But, you know, I thought it was a goaltend the first time I saw the replay, and I was like, oh, that's not, how is that even? But it was a clean block. It was a clean block. LeBron, once again in the playoffs, came up huge on the defensive end with a clean block on Victor Oladipo's attempted game winner, and then comes through in the clutch, 3 seconds left, dribbles right to the middle of the court, rises up, fade away, buckets, 98-95, and the Cleveland Cavaliers have a 3-2 lead, just like that. Now, we know we're looking at the greatest player of this generation, but are we looking at the greatest player of all time? I'm not, you know, I just, he is so good at what he does. You know, it's tough because I was a kid when Michael Jordan was playing. I didn't see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar play. I didn't see Bill Russell play, Will Chamberlain. You know, I saw Shaq and Kobe and Tim Duncan, and then it was LeBron. And for the past 15 years, it's been LeBron. Half my life, LeBron has been bringing excellence into my living room and onto the courts that I call home court. I've seen LeBron play at Oracle so many times. I've seen him in regular season games, Christmas games, finals games. He's always larger than life. Always, always, always. I'm not sure there's any doubt at this point that the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to win this series. I think they're going to take it in six. I think LeBron is going to impose his will, and I don't think it's going to be as close a game as Game 5 was. You know, the Indiana Pacers are a very good team. They play better than the sum of their parts. Victor Oladipo has been really special, especially going downhill. I love it when he backs up and then gets a running start and then makes a move, pulls up for a 17-footer after getting the defender off balance. It's really beautiful to watch because the rest of the side just clears out. They're watching him. They're waiting just in case something happens. But they all, it's not a clear out in the way that some teams clear out and it's just like, oh, I'm just going to stand here. It's a very attentive, very engaged clear out for the other four players on the court for the Indiana Pacers when Oladipo is doing his thing in the one-on-one. And that's something that you have to coach, I think, because you do, in the playoffs, have to rely on one-on-one at least a little bit more, if not a lot more. And other players, they have to be able to stay alert, and I think Nate McMillan has done a great job of making sure that the rest of his players are alert. They are assisting the ball pretty well, but you know, make sure that when it gets down to one-on-one, the other players are still engaged, they're still getting back on defense, they're still making back cuts and doing all of those things, and they're so good at that, but I don't think that they're good enough to beat LeBron when he's on his game. You know, and clearly he wasn't going to allow the Cavaliers to lose yesterday night. You're listening to the Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm going to take a look at Oklahoma City Jazz and maybe do a little bit more looking at the New Orleans Pelicans in the next segment. But first, I want to talk to you about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. If your company is interested in a connected audience between the ages of 18 and 49, you need look no further than Locked On Warriors. Podcasts are so hot right now, and Locked On Warriors is no exception. They're where smart advertisers are showcasing their products and getting them out to the people. We have all the resources to make sure that you reach your audience. Go ahead, send me an email, alikocarter11@gmail.com. I'll give you all the details. And we're back, and we're talking Oklahoma City Thunder versus Utah Jazz. The Thunder were able to, almost by the skin of their teeth, I mean, you know, it's tough to say by the skin of their teeth based on the way the stats worked out. Like I said, I'm not looking at stats, but of course Russell Westbrook had a big game, and Paul George had a big game. Two very nearly superstars, Russell Westbrook definitely in that category, the best five or six players in the league, and Paul George not far behind him. They have so much talent in just those two players that you'd think they'd be having a bit of an easier job taking on the Jazz, but the Jazz play as a much more cohesive unit than the Thunder do. And they're showcasing that in the regular season. I've talked about the Jazz a little bit. Donovan Mitchell, how well he's playing. I could talk about Rudy Gobert. I could talk about Joe Ingles. I could talk about Jay Crowder, who had his best game of this series. And, you know, in the loss, I could talk about Ricky Rubio, nearly another triple-double tonight. But I'm talking about the Thunder, and what I just don't understand is their offense. I was talking to Miles Johnson, a frequent guest on this show, usually on Fridays, and he was basically saying, you know, to design an offense around Russell Westbrook, you have to design an offense that has the ball in his hands all the time because he's horrible off the ball and he's a berserker with the ball in his hands. So you just have to take what you get with Russ, and maybe they just don't have the personnel that can play around Russ. Like with LeBron, there is a very specific clientele that can deal with what LeBron brings to the table, the ball dominance, the directing traffic, strong will that his presence exerts on the court. And you could say that Russ is another one of those players and could be why Kevin Durant left, and he's playing in such a more equitable system. Everybody gets touches, the offense is motion, and they're not just taking turns playing patty cake with the ball or hot potato or whatever the game is. But Russ needs the ball in his hands. He absolutely needs the ball in his hands. Miles is right. And that requires X's and O's at a level that I don't think Billy Donovan has really worked out yet. It's certainly not at a level that Scott Brooks worked out before he got canned. And the issue here is for them to make the next jump, and you know, if they do lose this series, that's two straight years that they've been knocked out in the first round. And this year they could potentially lose Paul George in free agency. We'll see what happens. But there needs to be a Popovichian, a Steve Currian mind behind the offense. I'm sure if Steve Kerr had Russell Westbrook on his roster, he would have a field day with plays for Russell Westbrook. Plays for Russell Westbrook to initiate, plays for Russell Westbrook to finish, out of bounds plays that spring Russell open for springy dunks. I mean, there's just a little bit of everything. And all throughout the season, I was watching this team and I said, What is this offense? This offense is stanky. I can't watch it. It's ugly. And I believe they have the fewest assists per game so far in the playoffs. Could be mistaken on that one, but that is not a good stat to carry, even though the playoffs are much more of a one-on-one game and everybody's assists go down, you don't want to be at the bottom. Like the Timberwolves, you know, they were at the bottom, the defense, and, you know, it bit them. I think with Russell Westbrook and the Thunder, there's just not enough motion. There's not enough making the defense commit to one action only to slip the ball toward another action on the weak side. You know, simple things. Just making the defense rotate. If you don't make the defense rotate, how you can't get mismatches, you can't catch them in a mistake on a rotation on the third pass, fourth pass, fifth pass. Somebody's going to be open. That's what the Warriors do. That's what the Spurs do. And I'm not saying that the Thunder have to do that. I'm just saying that if they want to get better, there needs to be that element of their offense or just a smarter way to utilize Russ. But until then, they're going to be bailing defenses out with these simplistic offensive sets. I wanted to talk about the Pelicans before the end of this podcast, but it seems I've run out of time. Definitely tune in tomorrow as Locked On Warriors will be crossing over with Locked On Pelicans and host Jake Madison. We're going to talk all things Dubs Pels. It's going to be great, and I hope to have you there. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.